Hello, and thank you for listening to True Crime Cam. So, the whole world pretty much knows by now that Diddy's homes in Los Angeles and Miami were raided by federal agents on March 25th, about 2 weeks ago. Homeland Security investigators confirmed that this was in relation to a sex trafficking investigation. They didn't specifically say that Diddy, Sean Combs, was the target, but they raided both of his homes. So we can infer that this is probably coming from the several civil lawsuits filed against him in the last 6 or so months. And we can infer that because this criminal inquiry is coming from federal prosecutors in the Southern District of New York, which is the same place that the lawsuits against Diddy were filed. Well, last week, surprise, surprise, Diddy is being sued again. But this time, the main subject of the lawsuit is actually his son, Christian Combs. The lawsuit alleges that Christian sexually assaulted a woman that was working on the yacht that was chartered by his father. And this alleged sexual assault took place in December 2022. So let's go through Grace's lawsuit first, and then I want to talk about Tyrone Blackburn, her lawyer, who is also representing Lil Rod Jones, Rodney Jones. This lawsuit was filed in the Superior Court of California, County of Los Angeles, on April 4th of this year. The plaintiff is Grace O'Mark, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, and she's being represented by Tyrone Blackburn. Grace is suing Christian Combs, his father, Diddy, as well as various John and Jane Does and corporations. Grace is a European Caucasian female who worked as a stewardess in the yachting industry since 2018. Her love of yachting started at an early age and was the foundation on which she had built her career. She traveled the world, met many new friends and colleagues, and enjoyed a very successful career. She has always worked well in teams and received high praises and great feedback from her managers and colleagues. She also consistently received exemplary reviews from her clients for her excellent customer service, as well as glowing references over the past few years. Grace has also consistently received promotions and has never been rejected for any position she has applied for. Prior to being sexually assaulted by defendant Christian Combs, Grace planned to work the entirety of her career in the hospitality and the yachting industry. Unfortunately, those plans have been derailed due to the trauma that Grace continues to have as a result of the assault. So the picture they chose to identify Christian King Combs is a picture of him literally being cuffed by Homeland Security investigators when his dad's home was raided in Los Angeles. They identify Christian Combs as a 25-year-old auto-tuned and heavily edited rapper. Unfortunately, as the saying has it, the apple does not fall far from the tree. Defendant Sean Combs, who has also been accused of several acts of sexual assault, rape, sexual violence, and drugging, among other deplorable conduct, is the father of defendant C. Combs, who has seemingly taken after his father and the family business of reckless partying, drugging others, sexual violence, and other illegal conduct. Specifically, Christian Combs is the second child of billionaire defendant Sean Combs and his late ex-partner Kim Porter. And now we get to the allegations. In or around July 2022, Grace, the plaintiff, was working on Victorious, a super yacht built by Acyacht and owned and operated by Fraser. She also worked as a temporary second stewardess for the company Equiom. Grace was working in a temporary position for a month on Victorious when she was subsequently offered a permanent position. In or about September 2022, Grace became a part of a dedicated team at the Monaco Boat Show, tasked with selling charters for Victorious to high net worth clients such as Christian and Sean Combs. In December 2022, Grace and her team were advised that the yacht had been successfully chartered for the 2022 holiday period. Grace changed her personal holiday family plans to accommodate the charter service and flew to St. Martin to prepare the yacht for service. Grace also learned that her clients would be Sean and Christian Combs. Sean Combs leased the yacht and had full control of the staff and premises of the yacht. Although Grace was used to working in discreet and VIP environments, this was one of her first times working with an A-list celebrity. Because of this, Grace and the rest of the team assigned to the yacht were determined to make the holiday special for Sean Combs and his family. Grace was assigned to work 6 p.m. to 6 a.m., along with one other crew member. Late shift duties included dinner and drink services for the clients for the entire 12-hour period. This had to be carried out with minimum staff support or backup during the night shift, since only two individuals were assigned. Although Diddy was typically on the yacht, his sons, Christian Combs and Justin Combs, were staying in a luxury villa nearby, but joined their father aboard the yacht most evenings. During the second week of the charter service, there was a significant amount of partying and drug use, which caused the guests to stay up throughout the night. The makeup of the yacht quickly evolved from just Diddy and his family to include a constant rotation of suspected sex workers and other A-list celebrities, such as French Montana and actor Cuba Gooding Jr. I definitely was calling him Cuba Gooding Jr. in the prior lawsuits, but can you blame me? I mean, it's literally spelled like the country. Okay, pause for a second on the lawsuit because we need to talk about Cuba Gooding Jr. and his history of allegedly sexually assaulting women. I know him from the 2002 Disney movie Snow Dogs and Radio, in which he plays a mentally disabled man, which would not fly today, the way he played that character, the way it was written. More notably, he co-starred alongside Tom Cruise in the 1996 film Jerry Maguire, and won an Oscar for Best Supporting Actor. But behind the curtain of his successful career, Mr. Gooding was allegedly forcibly touching dozens of women. In December 2019, a grand jury indicted him on 6 counts of forcibly touching and sexual abuse in the third degree. This indictment was the result of 3 different women coming forward to police about their interactions with Mr. Gooding. One woman said he forcibly kissed her at a nightclub in September 2018. Mr. Gooding also admitted to subjecting 2 other women to non-consensual physical contact in October 2018 and June 2019. In a civil case, a woman accused him of battery, assault, and intentional infliction of emotional distress. That case ended with a judge ordering him to pay $80,000 in damages to the woman. Authorities have said that at least 30 women have come forward with allegations of sexual misconduct against Mr. Gooding. A large number of these women were going to testify at the criminal trial, but the judge reversed his decision and wouldn't allow it. In the end, prosecutors gave him a plea deal. As long as he went to therapy and didn't reoffend, he could plead guilty to 1 count of harassment in the second degree. He faced no additional penalties. That was in 2022, but Mr. Gooding still had a pending civil suit from 2 years prior. A Jane Doe accused him of raping her in his hotel room back in 2013. This plea deal outraged many of the victims that waited years for this trial and thought they'd actually receive some sort of justice. So Jane Doe goes forward with her lawsuit, and 3 additional women were expected to testify, who said Gooding Jr. had abused them between 2009 and 2019. But literally the day the trial was going to start, potential jury members are waiting around, Mr. Gooding settles with Jane Doe. We don't know the terms of the settlement, but at one point she was seeking $6 million. Despite the conviction and the lawsuits and the media coverage, Mr. Gooding continues to land acting roles. His IMDb page lists numerous upcoming projects. The most recent film he's in that comes out in August of this year is The Firing Squad. Sounds like it would be an interesting movie, but no. I watched the trailer and it looks like a low-budget Christian propaganda film. It's apparently inspired by a true story of 3 Christians who faced execution by firing squad in a third world country. They had a live premiere in LA a month ago. Cuba Gooding Jr. was there, and they got reactions from viewers.
It's the story of redemption and the story of, like, the power of grace. And it was very powerful when Cuba Gooding Jr. was singing his way out of the prison. It literally, prison was hell. He's singing his way out of prison because he's going to back to the Father. So it was awesome.
It's pretty wild that the people that made this movie and cast him didn't have a problem with the accusations or conviction against him. You know, it's just not very Christian-like, you know? But anyways, it's just important to note all of these accusations against Cuba Gooding Jr. because he's been brought up in this lawsuit and the lawsuit filed by Rodney Jones, and he seems to be a big fan, a close friend of Diddy. All right, back to the lawsuit. Diddy turned what was sold as a wholesome family excursion into a hedonistic environment. According to Grace, it resulted in an unexpected increase in workload for her and her colleagues, as well as unwanted exposure to unlawful drug use, sex work, and general chaos. It also created an extremely hazardous environment. For example, guests often demanded drink service until 6 a.m. Staff was often treated with disrespect. Suspected SWs were sprawled out unconscious about the yacht, and it was difficult to distinguish which bottles of alcohol were laced with drugs and which bottles were not. It is important to note that as a bartender, Grace understands the impact of alcohol and the likelihood that a person would not generally become intoxicated following one mixed drink. Because of this, Grace found it very suspicious that after one shot of De Leon tequila or one mixed drink, various women on the yacht would be falling over themselves, panicking, or passing out. This led Grace to reasonably believe that the alcohol given to these women was likely laced with drugs. And this is where Rodney Jones comes into the lawsuit. If you listened to previous episodes and you listened to his lawsuit specifically, you'll remember that he mentioned being on a yacht and women being drugged. So Rodney Jones was accepted as an extended member of the service staff and spent time with Grace, the plaintiff, at the service bar and piano room where he played the piano. On or about the early morning of December 28th, 2022, the evening shift started as normal. At about 5 a.m., Grace is messaged on the on-duty phone that Christian Combs is coming to the yacht via a smaller boat. Christian Combs wanted to be brought over to the Victorious to record in the yacht's makeshift recording studio with Rodney Jones. So Christian arrives on this little boat and Grace notices that he is apparently heavily intoxicated. And upon entering the recording studio, Christian immediately started ordering that tequila shots be poured from a bottle of alcohol that he may have brought onto the yacht. This next line is a little weird. Ironically, Christian Combs was playing Cassie's Me and You in the background. And as we all know by now, Cassie was the former girlfriend of his father, Diddy, who brought the first lawsuit against Diddy that basically brought all of these allegations out. So it's definitely really strange that he was playing that song. So in the studio, Christian asked Grace to bring the shots to the recording studio / sun deck, and Grace obliged because she was the only serving steward at the time. Grace noticed immediately that Christian was particularly attentive with her, which she considered very inappropriate. And she became more concerned when Christian insisted that she take a shot of tequila that he brought on board the yacht. Under pressure and wanting to be polite, Grace obliged. Prior to this, she also witnessed Sean Combs create a, quote, Black Santa video, which showed Diddy demanding that the captain, various heads of departments, and crew take a shot of tequila with him, as this was a pattern established by the captain of the yacht and Diddy. Grace felt comfortable knowing that Mr. Jones was present and didn't think anything more of it. She felt that she would take one shot and he would let her return to the pantry. According to Grace, at this point, the mood changed and things became sinister. Christian Combs insisted that Grace stay chatting and that she sit beside him. She resisted and remained polite, asking to leave. Christian Combs became aggressive and insisted that Grace take a further shot and sit beside him. At this point, Christian violently grabbed Grace's arm and began hurting her. He pulled her to the seat beside him and prevented her from getting up. Grace insisted that she had to return to the pantry, but her pleas fell on deaf ears. Angered, Christian Combs forced Grace to take another shot. Grace was quite scared and realized she was in a very dangerous situation. She was also feeling the effect of the tequila shots and quickly suspected that the tequila was spiked. At this point, the situation escalated. Okay, I'm pretty sure in this next line, the lawyer meant to write defendant Christian Combs and not Sean Combs. We're going to talk about this lawyer later because there has been some things that have come out about him. But anyways, the lawsuit says, at this point, the situation escalated and Grace started to be physically assaulted by defendant S. Combs. He touched Grace's legs, breasts, anus, and vagina. He also tried to kiss her and proceeded to kiss her neck, face, and hands. The timeline at this point is very blurry and vague to Grace, as she does not recall exactly what happened to her due to the effects of the spiked tequila shots. Luckily for Grace, due to Diddy's insistence on Mr. Jones recording everything, Mr. Jones has an audio recording of Christian Combs drugging and sexually assaulting Grace. Okay, yeah, so the lawyer definitely meant to put Christian Combs. So this is not an allegation of Diddy sexually assaulting the yacht stewardess. Grace is alleging that Diddy's son, Christian Combs, is the one who sexually assaulted her. Below is a transcript of Christian forcing Grace to consume the suspected laced shots of De Leon tequila. Audio 1 has Christian saying, "Yo, it's shot o'clock." Grace said, "No, I'm not doing shots, Christian." Christian says, "Everybody, we gotta take a shot." Audio 2. Grace says, "I'll just put it on the ledge." Christian says, "No, no, no. Take the whole thing." Grace says, "No, you will take it as well." Christian says, "Take the whole shot." Grace says, "I'm only doing it as long as you take it as well." Christian says, "I ain't going to lie. I'm not taking nothing. Please, please take the shot." Grace says, "You are drugging me?" Christian says, "Take the shot. Hey, yo, play another beat one time because now..." And then it cuts off. Below is a transcript of Christian Combs' sexual assault of Grace. And this is when Cassie's song Me and You featuring P. Diddy is playing in the background. Grace says, "This is not an offer." Christian says, "You said what?" Grace says, "I can't. I'm swapping out. I can't do it. I'm sorry, darling." Christian says, "Nah, we need you." Grace says, "I'm going to stop. Stop. I have to go. I have to go. Honestly, I'm like already losing sleep. I have to go now." Christian says, "You're the best one on this ship, though." Grace says, "What do you mean?" Christian said, "Who's going to replace you?" Grace says, "Who's going to replace me?" Christian says, "Fuck that. That's going to be trash, though. You feel me?" Grace says, "Excuse me, you don't touch my legs like that. I'll move my legs where I want to. If I want to do this, then I will. You don't touch my legs like that." Christian says, "Listen, you and everybody in the crew, it's great." Grace says, "I can't. I have to go down. I have to go down." Christian says, "No, yo, tell me, listen." She says, "What?" Christian says, "Like, say you're just vibing with me the whole time." Grace says, "I can't. I promise you, I wish I could, but I can't, unless I say that you guys requested me." Christian says, "Yes, who can I talk to right now? Who can I talk to? I'm going to say I requested you right now." Grace says, "Well, you can take your hand off my ass for the first thing." And that is the end of the transcript for the audio recording. According to Grace, she said she would have to be requested because she knew anyone of authority who would approve the request was asleep, and Christian would not have been able to contact them, and Grace would then be allowed to leave. After being assaulted in the recording studio, Grace attempted to resume her duties that night. She made her way to the pantry where she met another steward who was assigned to take over the shift. Her colleague recognized that Grace was visibly intoxicated, in shock, and trying to finish the shift. Shortly after returning to the pantry, Christian Combs called for Grace. He went looking for her and demanded that she find him a place to sleep on the yacht. At such a late hour of the night, there were no spare cabins for Christian Combs to stay in. Despite this, he refused to go back to shore. The most acceptable place for him to sleep that night was in the cinema. Grace directed him to the cinema, which was commonly used as an extra sleeping area. The cinema has one door to exit and enter. Grace entered the room and Christian blocked her from exiting. Grace retreated to a corner of the room and Christian Combs became physically and extremely aggressive. He cornered Grace and started to grope her. Grace pushed him back constantly. Christian Combs then took off all his clothes. His genitals were erect, and he grabbed her arms and was trying to force Grace to perform oral copulation on him. Grace starts fighting Christian, and not long after, her partner on board entered the cinema. This startled Christian Combs, and Grace was finally able to leave. Grace's partner became concerned and went looking for her after she had not returned to her room after her shift had ended. The morning after, Grace complained to the yacht's captain, Captain Petar Milkov. Captain Milkov berated Grace. He lacked compassion or concern, failed to investigate, and insisted that Grace was probably voluntarily partying with guests. She was not. Captain Milkov added insult to injury by assigning Grace to work in front of the house, which required personally serving Christian while they were on the yacht. She was not provided an option to be isolated or not have to serve Christian Combs. Grace was 25 years old at the time of the attack. Based on information and belief, Diddy's employees, including his drug mule Brendan Paul, as well as Chief of Staff Christina Karam and his second in line Frankie Santella, learned of what occurred and informed Diddy. Shortly after, Captain Milkov received a generous tip from Diddy in order to keep Captain Milkov quiet and keep him from protecting Grace or taking action on her behalf. Only a few members of the ship's staff were required to write statements. Grace and her partner were the only two staff members not interviewed and not asked to write a statement. Below are images of Grace's bruises because of Christian Combs violently grabbing her and attempting to force her to perform oral copulation. So here there's a clear image of a bruise on Grace's arm, and she has a very identifiable tattoo. In a second image, you can see two bruises circled on her arm. And it's very clear that these photos were taken on the ship, probably right after it happened or the morning after it happened. So according to Grace, the past year, 2023, has been the most deeply traumatizing time of her life. Grace was isolated and retaliated against on the yacht, and that finally resulted in her termination by Captain Milkov on or around May 10th, 2023. In addition to losing her employment, Grace also lost her longtime partner, with whom she had planned a future. Her partner was never the same after seeing the bruises on her body because of Christian Combs' sexual assault and having to deal with the mental and emotional ramifications, so they separated. Her mental health deteriorated to the point she was medicated and required intensive therapy. Additionally, she fell into a deep depression and was unable to fully carry out her maid of honor duties at the wedding of her only sister in June 2023, which she had been looking forward to doing for over 18 months. Her anxiety and panic attacks prevented her from securing another permanent position in the yachting industry in 2023. She also developed a severe eating disorder as a result of the attack due to the shame and mental warfare she was experiencing that affected her body image and appetite. On several occasions, the sexual assault led her to have severe suicidal ideations. In addition to the psychological trauma, her physical health began to deteriorate. She had several epileptic seizures. So this part of the lawsuit is talking about other things that transpired on the boat that Grace allegedly saw that were definitely cause for concern. And it points back to Diddy aiding and abetting this illegal activity. So on one occasion, Christina Karam, the chief of staff for Diddy, who was compared to Ghislaine Maxwell in the other lawsuit, she apparently told Grace to ensure that the entire bar area was stocked with De Leon tequila and Ciroc vodka. Grace sees that Diddy is visibly intoxicated. She's unsure if he was high from drugs, alcohol, or both. But out of nowhere, Christina Karam quickly approaches Grace and tells her to remove all the Ciroc and De Leon bottles. She was informed that two guests were boarding the yacht. Those names have been redacted, but the first person is a famous female comedian, and the second person is a wife of a famous comedian and founder of a New York-based charity. So when Grace is told that, she sees Diddy exit a room. She sees the two guests enter the room. And then a little time later, Diddy returned sober, holding his newborn daughter. This all occurred within less than an hour. Grace said that on many occasions, she saw young girls visiting the boat. They stayed for less than 30 minutes in a cabin with a guest and then left. And this led her to believe that those girls were sex workers. She also said Diddy was smoking marijuana around the yacht crew members, and he wouldn't allow them to leave when he smoked, so they got a contact high. In one incident, Diddy had several women that Grace suspected of being sex workers on the yacht. There was a girl who was extremely upset and ran to the lower deck. She locked herself in the massage room and was hysterically crying. She said she didn't feel safe and wanted to leave. The crew was alerted of this. And at that time, Sarah Chapman, one of Diddy's baby mamas, was due to have a massage. So Grace had to remove this young woman from the massage room, but she was very reluctant to as she felt unsafe. But eventually that girl left. In another incident, Grace says that Diddy lost a large bag of marijuana and required the crew to search for it. On another occasion, this is when Hulu was filming, apparently. That show got canceled real quick once all these lawsuits came out. So Hulu was filming on the yacht, and there were several of Diddy's friends there, including Young Miami, and they were all playing a game called Carisha Please. Diddy was dared to expose himself. At that point, Diddy stood up, pulled down his pants, and exposed his you-know-what. Grace was standing beside the table and heard a commotion. Diddy's mother was also apparently sitting beside him when he did this, and that's when Grace returned to the pantry and refused to stand outside for the duration of that service period. On another occasion during New Year's Eve, Diddy had guests who stayed until the late afternoon. A fight broke out between Justin Combs's friends, in which they physically assaulted each other and walked around the boat topless, screaming. Grace and the crew felt very uneasy in this environment. And at one point, one of Diddy's guests apparently shoved the chief steward on the stairs and threw an object across the bar. On another occasion, Grace said she saw an argument between a man and a woman. The man was upset and proceeded to physically assault her. In another occasion, we see Brendan Paul mentioned, which is the alleged drug mule for Diddy, and he was arrested the day that Diddy's houses got raided. He was about to board a jet with Diddy to go to the Bahamas or something like that for spring break, and he was caught with a bunch of drugs, but he's since bonded out. So there was an instance when Brendan Paul came down to the pantry area where the crew hang out, and he was laughing uncontrollably. He apparently told Grace that he had to sit and watch Diddy have sex with multiple women, and that Diddy wanted him present just in case he needed him to get him something while he was in the middle of the act. Grace was like, "Why do you even want to work for Diddy if he requires you to do things like that?" And Brendan replied that Diddy was just a good link to have in the industry. We also see Cuba Gooding Jr. coming up again. Grace said it was extremely unpleasant to serve him. He apparently sat at the bar and made derogatory comments to her. He was visibly intoxicated and she was in the room and witnessed him inappropriately touching Rodney Jones, who at the time was working on the Love album. So there is some corroboration there, I guess, but Tyrone Blackburn is representing both of these people, so... And it's recently come out that a judge has accused Blackburn of a pattern of improperly filing cases aimed at attracting media attention and pressuring defendants to settle quickly. This was in a completely different case that has nothing to do with Diddy or anything, but the judge said, quote, "A reasonable inference from Blackburn's pattern of behavior is that he improperly files cases in federal court to garner media attention, embarrass defendants with salacious allegations, and pressure defendants to settle quickly." So in this case that the judge is talking about, apparently Blackburn filed this lawsuit in the federal court, even though both the plaintiff and the defendants lived in the same state, which you are not supposed to do. I think the media would have picked up these lawsuits even if Blackburn wasn't the one to file them, But Blackburn does make a lot of references in Rodney Jones's case that really has nothing to do with the things that Rodney Jones experienced, like mentioning Prince Harry and all these other celebrities that have been going to Diddy's parties. Like, he redacts some of the rapper or artist's names, but then gives them a clear description in which most people can assume correctly the person that he's referencing in the lawsuits. Also, the fact that in Grace's lawsuit, Blackburn chose to use a TMZ photo of Christian Combs being detained during the raids on his dad's house. It's not even a clear image of Christian, and it kind of seems like he just put it in there to be like, hey, look, he's in cuffs already. And this is not to diminish anything that the victims are saying in their lawsuits. It's just looking a little shady for Tyrone Blackburn because a judge had to literally refer him to the Grievance Committee of the Southern District of New York. I definitely would not want to have a lawyer that's been getting in trouble in the courts, but we don't know the financial situations for Grace and Rodney Jones. He might have reached out to do it for free and then get a percentage once a settlement is made or damages are given. And it's true that Diddy settled with his ex Cassie less than 24 hours after she came out about the horrific abuse against her. This is actually the first time I've seen in one of the lawsuits against Diddy that mentions the Hulu film camera crew filming these sort of interactions. Honestly, Hulu dropped the ball, because if they kept filming even after all these allegations came out, I'm wondering if they would have been able to record certain things that they did not want getting out. And I'm wondering if they have any recordings of Diddy's family that they don't want out. Diddy and his son have denied all the allegations, and it really seems like these cases are gonna go to court. It seems like Diddy does not want to settle these, and I'm just wondering how that's all gonna play out. And as for the sex trafficking investigation related to the raids on Diddy's homes, many legal experts and former federal prosecutors slash investigators have come out to say that charges will probably be filed pretty soon. So yeah, I just wanted to give an update on the Diddy doings and what's going on with that, because this is a huge case. I'm sure by the end of this month, something else will happen in this case, who knows. So when that happens, I will make sure to let y'all know. I also want to give a quick shout out to the new accomplices on Patreon. Thank you so much to Amy Elizabeth T, Deb, Lazuli, Bean87, Kyla O, and Lily C. Thank you guys so much for becoming Patreon members. And if you want ad-free, sometimes early episodes, head over to patreon.com/truecrimecam. It's just $1 a month. Thanks for tuning in, and I hope you all have a good day, evening, or night. Goodbye.